God is good, you will be able to say with great confidence how good he is. So before I get lost into that, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share the living bread from heaven. Deposit to your people tonight the bread of heaven. May the one seated on the throne be glorified. Revelation 4, the one seated on the throne. May you be glorified tonight. Help me, Holy Spirit, teach and instruct your word tonight. In the name of the Messiah, the resurrected Lord, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Well, I'll say God bless you all, and especially my friends of this house. Many of you I've prayed with, and so it's good to see you. It's good to see all of you and to know that God is still on the throne. I'm going to ask you to help me by repeating some things for me. And then we're going to take a journey. And what you are going to hear tonight is a culmination. And by the way, the testimony or the story Pastor Steve just told you 30 years ago. It hit me right there. And it was finding our Jubilee where we became members 30 years ago. Someone prayed full circle in that prayer room. Many things are starting to take shape here. I want to, before I ask you guys to repeat some things, I want to give confirmation to a prophetic prayer that was prayed in a prayer room. Some of the words were the broad place. And we're entering, there was a long hallway scene, and I'm going to tie this together. There was a long hallway scene. At the end, there were double doors into a broad place. 2001, right after September 11th, 2001, I had an open vision, the only one I've ever had. As I was driving to Orange County, I was going to speak to a bunch of business folks. I was in my car when I have this open vision. And in that open vision, it was several things taking place. The first part of the vision, I was in because I've been to Mount Everest or to the Himalayan mountains on a prayer mission. I remember seeing I was in a crevasse. The crevasse was only wide enough for my body. I had on cold weather gear, and I remember being absolutely positively uncomfortable with that gear. Listen very carefully. I had to strip off all of that. It was only wide enough for me to walk like this. I couldn't walk like this. But one thing I could see, that down this direction was a light. Now, from where I was, it was a long distance. And walking like this, scratching my knees, bumping my elbows, that would take a long time to get to that opening. But on the other side of the opening, it was into the broad place. The next part of the vision, I'm up top, looking down. Many people were crawling out right where they were, trying to escape because they couldn't handle the closeness of where they were. And what the Lord said to me in that moment, he said, my people, many of my people develop spiritual claustrophobia. They never reach the broad place because they climb out too soon. And immediately I was back down. I was walking this way. And when I got to the end, it was broad. And the blessing of the Lord was on the other side. Amen. you have to become sometimes comfortable in uncomfortable places to get to the broad place. I'm going to ask you to repeat these different phrases after me, please. Wisdom builds.
Wisdom builds.
Say it again.
Wisdom builds.
Knowledge establishes.
Excuse,
and understanding fills.
Understanding.
Wisdom builds.
Wisdom builds.
Knowledge establishes. But it is understanding that fills. Proverbs 25, 2. Listen to this. Repeat after me. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Psalm 32, 8. What I'm giving you is where I have been the last 3 years of my life. Psalm 32, 8. I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me as well. We're already there? Oh, yeah. Thank you. So repeat after me. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. How many of y'all can receive that? How many of y'all want to be guided and taught and instructed by him? June 2006, Father's Day. The prophetess comes to Washington, D.C. She's going to hold a conference that week. In that conference, or in that day, on Father's Day, June 2006, she prophesies to the entire church. She prophesies to us last, and she says, this is the only word that we remember, the Lord is going to restore lost finances. Our journey is about obedience. This message tonight, run and obey, is about obedience. Nobody likes the O word. Never get a lot of amens on the O word. It's okay. Watch this. Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the truth. God said, I'm going to restore lost finances. Now, April 2nd, 2017. I don't want to go too much of that part of the testimony because it take time. April 2nd, 2017, this year, this is where this message came from, run and obey. I'm going to America's number one spot, McDonald's. I'm going to get breakfast. When I hear this phrase, many times when the Lord speaks to me, he speaks in little short phrases, real compact phrases. And this is all he said. King David. McDonald's. King David. It was much like the only way I can describe it, it was much like somebody slapped me on the back to get my attention. King David. Well, I knew that was him. And so I immediately hurried up to the church so I can have my time of prayer and intercession with him because I knew he wanted to say something, possibly teach me something I hadn't seen before. So, 1 Samuel 17. You know the story of King David and the battle with Goliath. So we're going to look at a few scriptures, and for time, we're just going to skip around. But you need to understand this. It is still important for you and I to obey the voice of the Lord in the simple. Once again, never a lot of amens, but that's okay. You'll see it here in a second. You have to learn, and I have to learn to obey God in the simplest of words. I say that because of this. In 2006, fall of 2006, What the Lord said to me is, it is time for you to serve your family. Now, I've been in ministry for 19 years here under Pastor Steve, with Pastor Steve, Brian, and all the rest that are still here. I had access almost any time I wanted it. But now I'm in a different place. You would think, well, why aren't you in ministry, Charles? Why aren't you doing it? Because that's not what I'm supposed to do. Once again, not did once. Listen. If you don't obey God where you are, when He tells you, you're going to be out of the will of God. Again, you want to be in the what? Perfect will of God. He'll let you be wherever you want to be. He'll let you be wherever you want to be. But it's probably best to be in the perfect will of God. All right, so let's get over to 1 Samuel 17. Oh, this is going to be fun and good, I'm telling you, folks. All right, 1 Samuel 17, you know this is the story of King David. Go down to verse 17 for me, please. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run. Say run.
Run.
He was to do what? What was he supposed to do?
Run.
What was he supposed to do?
Run.
Was he supposed to walk?
Run.
What was he supposed to do?
Run.
He's supposed to run. Three little letters, run. That seems insignificant, folks. That to the normal mind is insignificant. What if he doesn't run? It's more than just disobedience. It's about timing. Run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses. Hang on to these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. So David has one thing to do. Take the food to his brothers on the battle line, come back and report to Pops. But he is to what?
Run.
How is he supposed to get there?
Run.
You need to understand that he is supposed to run with that food to his brothers. Now we're going to skip down for time. Go with me to verse 22 of that same chapter. Skipping down a little bit, it says, and David left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper and what?
Ran.
Say it again.
Ran.
He ran to the army. So he did what? He obeyed what? He obeyed his father's command. Right? He ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. We'll stop right there. And now, of course, you see what happens next. And then as he talked to them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and that he spoke to them, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. Now listen, we're going to, for time, we know what happens here. But also understand this, David's obedience in running to the front line, the timing was absolutely perfect and crucial. Because when he gets there, the fellows in the army are discussing the reward to the person who takes down what I call the man beast. Okay. You're not there yet. Okay. No, you don't got it. You don't got it. Don't tell me you got it. You ain't got it. So here's point number one. Be faithful in the area that you're serving. Why? Because it's quite possible that that is where your anointing and your calling will be loosed initially. Watch this. Listen. It was in the land of obscurity where David's anointing really was loosed. He kills a lion and a bear. He kills two carnivores. If you never learn to kill the carnivore, you'll never learn to kill the man beast.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. You won't learn. You won't. You won't kill the man beast. You know why? Because it's learning in the land of obscurity. It's learning and developing a reservoir of experiences with God that will give you the courage, the faith, and the ability to then stand before the man beast and take him out. Listen, I got to break it down even further than that. Okay, listen. So the first carnivore comes to David's flock. Remember, David's flock, he is assigned to protect, to care for his daddy's sheep. He's obeying someone. What is he doing? He's obeying the one in authority over him. Take care of my sheep, David. It's out in the middle of nowhere. We don't know how many sheep it was. It doesn't matter. But when that first carnivore shows up, to take that sheep, here's what the sheep represent: food, clothing, sacrifice, sustenance. You think about it. You skin the sheep, you got wool to make your clothes. Come on. I can't let you have that sheep, Mr. Lion. That's my daddy's sheep. I'm responsible. And what David does, he lays the groundwork in the future for the good shepherd. The good shepherd says he will leave what? The 99. That's exactly what David was doing. He was caring for that which was entrusted to him and took back what the carnivore tried to take from him. You have to learn to destroy the carnivore before you can attack the man beast. You must learn to be faithful in the land of obscurity. You must learn to be faithful and develop your own reservoir of experiences with God so that when it's time to face this thing, whatever it is in your life, you'll be ready because you've learned in the land of obscurity how to defeat the carnivore. Point number two, obey those in authority over you. Now that sounds simple again. I know that's not staggering. That's not new revelation. But I'm telling you, here's what I need you to do. I need you to put yours first now. I need you to serve them. Now, if I don't obey that, I can still try to press on in the ministry. I can try. But I would not be as successful. We would not be as successful if I continue down a path and pushing and knocking on a door. Because I tell you, God will let you be anywhere, friend. You have to understand that. He'll let you be wherever you want to be. God loves you so much, he'll let you do whatever you want to do. Once again, there were a lot of amens, but that's okay. The goal is to be in the perfect will of God. Obey those in authority over you. David's responsibility, twofold. After leaving those sheep, he gets orders from his father. What do you want? I need you to run to the front lines with this food. Give it to my sons, and then come back and report to me. He gets there only to hear. In time, he gets there to hear the reward for killing that What's the reward? Come again? Look, the king's saying, whoever kills that gets the daughter, gets lands, gets a whole bunch of stuff. That's what the king said, right? That's what the king said. David, let me get this straight. Kill that. Yeah. Kill that. Yeah. If I kill that, I get a girl and some other stuff and my family's taken care of. That's what the king said, man. That's all I can tell you. I don't know nothing. I'm telling you what I heard. He said, if somebody do all that, you get all this stuff. Really? Yeah. That's what the king said. Okay. Okay. Listen here. Don't worry about it. I got it. King, chill. I'm your man. I'll take care of it. The timing. I'm not trying to address the reward. I'm trying to address the obedience. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. In our society, it is said that the highest income earners, watch this, some of the highest income earners in the world are problem solvers. Let that sink in. Think about this. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Billy Bob Banker solves one bank's problems, puts that bank on the right track, moves them forward. Word gets out that Billy Bob Banker knows how to solve problems in banks. He keeps building that history. Then one day, one of the bigger banking problems arises. Whom do you know that can, look, I know about this guy, it doesn't matter what the problem is, he knows, we'll pay him whatever it takes because he knows how to solve problems. The reward that was waiting for the man who could solve the king's problem. Was life-changing. And because David simply obeyed by taking food and running, he got there to hear the reward of the potential whoever could solve the king's problem. When are you going to start obeying the King of Kings in the little words he gives you? Sure is quiet. See, I call Goliath the man beast. That's my name. He was there to wipe out Israel. But you see, it was in the land of obscurity where David's warrior anointing was loosed. You don't get it, folks. His bravery, his boldness, his authority was done, and he knew it wasn't him. That's why when he faced Goliath, you come at me with a sword, spear, and all that stuff. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the armies of God whom you have defiled. I don't come any other way. I'm not coming in my own strength. Are you kidding me? I know where my strength comes from. So you come at me however you wish, but you tussling with the wrong one. Look here, man. I took care of a bear and a lion. What do you got? You ain't nothing but a man. How many of you would rather fight a man than a man than a carnivore? Let me. Oh, thank you, Tim. The only one. Tim, the only one honest. I ain't fighting nobody's bears. These things are born to eat. All they know how to do is kill and eat. My good friend is here, Bob Dickren. We went to Rankin Inlet, Canada. And Bob will remember this. We were sitting in a restaurant, and they had in that restaurant a stuffed polar bear standing on its hind legs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to assure you, this thing was taller, as tall as a basketball goal on its hind legs. And I looked at that, and I thought, David was a tough fella. Because I'm not tackling that. I'm not tackling that. I wish you could have seen this thing. It was massive. Listen, it only knows how to kill and eat. David thought about his father's sheep. He left the 99. I can't let one get away. This is my responsibility, Mr. Bear. And he took it back. Same thing with the lion. See, now you see that experience with God. God gave him the ability to take it from a bear. Okay, here comes a lion. Okay, so he had the bear tried to take it the first time. Okay, God, come on, let's go. Took it from the lion. And now, all that, look, when you have those kind of experiences, and Shaquille O'Neal is standing in front of you with a spear and stuff, you just... I hate to tell you, fella. I hate to tell you. You're messing with the wrong one. A lion and a bear, you're just a man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will give you the ability in your obedience to solve problems. And don't you understand when you partner with him in solving problems for him, that he is still a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, my God in heaven. Number four. David still obeying the word of his father when the battle began. Let me tell you something. There are four times in this chapter where David ran to the battle lines. Three more times David ran. When the man beast stood up, David ran at him, straight to him. Didn't hesitate, ran straight at him. When the man beast fell, David ran. Pulled out his sword, took care of the problem. That running got into David. That running thing got into him. But he understood that God is with me no matter what problem faces me. I'm trying to get you to see if you will obey him in the simple. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I will restore lost finances, is what he told us. The prophetess told me later at the end of the service, she said, Charles, let me tell you this. I don't think it's going to come through the church. Alrighty. What has happened since 2006, really 2007, is this is what we've watched. Steady climb of finances. It's not about the finances. It's about the faithfulness of God and obedience. Can you obey him in the simplest of things? Can you be faithful to him in areas where you're not seen or heard? I want you have to understand, David is out somewhere, grass, feeding his sheep. I don't know how far it was from where he was to his father's house. I don't know. But he was still in the land of obscurity. He was anointed by the prophet to be king, but he's out here tending. Get over here. Get back. Nobody's out there but him and the sheep. I said, nobody's out there but him and the sheep. Nobody sees him but him and the sheep. Just the sheep. But God's watching. He's leading them to green pastures. He's leading them beside still waters. He's restoring David's soul. So when it's time to solve a gigantic problem, what David did in secret, God now rewarded him openly. I wish I could say it another way. But I'm watching in my own life open reward. The Lord said in 2006, I close with this. This move was not about you. It was about Stephen. Is that right? And this is what I watched again. He's getting his master's. God's grace. I don't have time to tell you all of the stories, but it has been an absolute ride. By just obeying God in the simple. Final point. I'm going to close with this. For those of you who have legally someone that you share a bed with, you'll have discussions about things. I.e. money. Maybe a difference of opinion about money that has occurred. I don't. But when your God gift says that God said, I'm not to worry about that, after taking a significant pay cut, God said, I'm not to worry about it. Excuse me one second while I go find the one I'm married to. One second. Because I don't know who you are. Y'all will get that when you get home. Then you know it's God. And then you watch the transformation. slow but steady transformation. I will restore lost finances. And I want to tell you, I'm not there yet, but I am in the process of seeing the restoration of lost finances. You have to understand, I was a professional athlete. I had a couple different opportunities, and those slipped away from me. One of them because of disobedience. Don't play today. Don't play today. Call him and say you're not playing today. Whew. Like you turn water off on a faucet. He stopped talking. Blew out my ACL. It's not a big deal to you. I'm trying to get you to see what obedience, the potential of obedience. God knows everything. He knows the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher. We have to learn to listen to God in the simple so that he can prepare you for the broad place. God bless all of you.